just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It's Saturday. We've had a hell of a week. A lot of shit going on, and we have a little surprise. We have another listener guest on. Now, this is a listener we haven't heard from in a while. His name is Howard, and he's from Western Minnesota, so we're in the same state. We've gotten to know Howard a little bit because Howard's of a like mind, certainly, but he's got some experiences that other folks don't have. He's had some experiences with the judicial system and the prison system. So he comes from a different perspective, and we always like hearing from him. Howard, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I enjoy being on here.
Well, we enjoy having you, and it's been a while. What did you, you work in landscaping and that sort of stuff. You have your own business. And winter, obviously, you lay off, but this has been a light winter. Did you get out and do some extra work in these nice days, or did you just still lay around waiting for May?
No, we did a bunch of work for the county about a month ago when we had that real nice weather. But the fishing sure did suck this year.
The what?
The fishing sure did suck this year. Ice fishing.
Yeah, it's a little tough to ice fish when you've got a half inch of ice out there. I don't even know why anybody would. I saw people going on the lakes here, and I'm going, fuck, I wouldn't go on those lakes. It's not been cold enough for long enough to get any thickness to that ice. That's crazy. But they did, and some people did fall through. I think they all survived, but Jesus Christ, just a weird winter.
Yes.
So,
yes, it was. It's the nicest winter I've ever seen in Minnesota, and I've pretty much lived here my whole life. So,
absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And we should acknowledge at the time you're hearing this podcast, this is Howard's birthday. I had my birthday a few days ago, and now Howard's birthday is today. He's a few years younger than me, so I expect the proper respect for your elders here, Howard. Howard is 61 as of today, so happy birthday, Howard.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
Now, if we'd been in high school, I'd been a senior, you'd been in ninth grade, so I probably wouldn't have even talked to you or even seen you because we didn't have ninth graders in our high school. But we're now all in our 60s, and we're all in the same boat, fighting against the same bullshit, the Trump fucks and all the crazy radical right people and the evangelicals and all this shit. What have your thoughts been, you know, since we haven't talked to you in a while, with everything that's gone on? Are you feeling better about things, worse about things, anxious about things?
I guess I'm still feeling anxious. I get that it's moving forward, but, and I said this a long time ago, our judicial system really moves slow. And yeah, then you get somebody, and we always, you know, talk about the two-tier judicial system. It seems like you get somebody in there like Donald Trump, and he gets the preferred treatment. He's one of the worst people I've seen in a long time, you know, as far as making threats against. Why would you make threats against the judge's daughter? I mean, it's stupid. That's all. There's no other way of explaining that.
Well, I think with Donald Trump, he's under the gun so much and so much hanging over his head. And with his emotional state and his personality, I think he's just flailing. He's grabbing anything, saying anything. He just doesn't know what he's doing. He's flailing wildly because he's got nowhere to go. He's clearly in trouble, and when he walks into that courtroom, you can see it on his face. This looks like a haggard old man now. It doesn't look like Donald Trump of 2016.
I think, you know, how can I explain this one? I think he really expects preferred treatment since he is next president.
Oh, I think he does.
You know, but we got to, you know, people, it seems like the longer he drags this out, the shorter people's memory is, because I always have to remind people, January 6th, he tried to overthrow our country. And you know, then we always talk about that, the Jack, the prosecutor, about going after the people in Congress that tried to help him. And we're going to go through another election cycle. I don't think that's fair to us as voters. We need to get them people out of Congress. They're passing laws every day, and they should have no right to be there if they were part of January 6th.
Right. Right, exactly. And we're hearing now, at least I heard now, that there isn't a plan to indict those sitting members of Congress and the other people that were involved in the insurrection. But it may not come until after the election, just to focus on Donald Trump and try to get that done. And also just the, you know, the problems with doing something in an election year. This is one of the problems I've had. This is one of the problems I've had with Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland and the judicial system in general, the DOJ, seems to weigh public opinion and give it too much weight. You know, public opinion can go either way, but if you broke a law, you should be prosecuted and go to jail. Public opinion shouldn't come into fucking play. You know, it really didn't come into play with other high-profile cases other than maybe OJ, but everybody's so afraid of what everybody else is going to think. At some point, you just got to do what is right. And this is one of the problems we seem to be having with the DOJ. And this is one of the things, it sounds like it's troubling to you, and it's certainly troubling to me.
Well, you know, we can allot money for anything. We can hire a bigger team to go after these people, as far as I'm concerned. I feel, as a taxpaying citizen of the United States, I'm getting cheated because we have criminals in our law-making system that should not be there. We need to do what we need to do to get them out of there. And I don't think the longer we wait, I don't think waiting is the answer.
No.
If we got a lot of money and get a team hired and get Jack more help, that's what we need to do.
Right. And if Merrick Garland would have jumped on it right after the inauguration with Joe Biden, we'd already be done with some of these cases and we wouldn't be under the gun for the next election. That's on Merrick Garland. And that has to be addressed after the election. I don't think Merrick Garland has the personality to be the attorney general. He might be a great judge, but he's too tentative and he's too afraid of public opinion. And you just can't do that when you're the attorney general. You know, what you brought up reminds me of what we're dealing with right now. We've got Donald Trump's criminal trial going. They finally got the jury selected yesterday. We've got all 12 jurors plus 6 alternates. And they're going to start the opening arguments on Monday. So this trial is happening. Now, up to this point, Donald Trump has clearly violated the gag order that was put on him by Judge Juan Marchand. And what does Judge Juan Marchand do? He says, I'm not going to talk about it now, but we're going to have a hearing on Tuesday. And I'm trying to figure out why he's putting it off for 2 days or 3 days or 4 days, because in that period of time, Donald Trump is going to violate it again and again. And it is, for all intents and purposes, intimidating the jury. And if he's allowed to do this, it's going to turn this fucking thing into a circus.
He's already turned it into a circus, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, for all the shit they've let him by with that two-tier system. You know, it's just, yeah, it's like a clown show in there, and then he goes in there and falls asleep, you know. That shows so much disrespect for our judicial system. It's like he acts like he should, well, he believes he shouldn't be there, you know.
Do you think they've sedated him at all? I mean, he's got ADD. He has trouble sitting still. He has trouble focusing on anything. You put him in a courtroom for 8 hours a day, 4 days a week, he's going to go crazy. I've read some articles that there are other issues and other times when they try to keep him awake. They try to structure things so he's always moving so he doesn't fall asleep. I don't know if he's falling asleep out of disrespect. I don't know if he's smart enough to play that game. I just think physically, he's 77 years old. He's got the world hanging on his shoulders, and he's trying to control everything. He's overwhelmed by it. I just think the motherfucker's tired, and he's up all night sending out Truth Social things. Motherfucker's tired. I'll be honest with you. I sit in a car with my wife, and we drive down the road for a half hour. I'm conked out, too. But I'm not calling Joe Biden Sleepy Joe and then falling asleep in court every day.
No. And, you know, they probably do have him on a cocktail of drugs, which the more the better, because it'll take him out in the long run. And we, you know, they always go about Joe Biden's age. Well, Donnie Trump ain't that far behind him, you know.
And he's less healthy.
And yes, I'd have to agree with that. He's less healthy. Yes. So,
I mean, it's quite.
Now, you mentioned something about Merrick Garland and about him not going after people. Well, we need to hold our and don't get me wrong, I like Joe Biden, but we need to hold him accountable there, because he's the one that hired Merrick. You know, he's in charge of that man. If that man is not doing his job, why is he getting a free ride? Get rid of Merrick Garland, and I get it's the election year. But you know what? Then you're saying to the voters, "Hey, we're not doing our job. We're you know, we don't dare. Or you know, you can't have your hands tied in election year. It's just like going after the sitting people in Congress." The only people that are getting screwed is us regular people.
Right. Well, I think after that report came out from that Robert Hur that suggested Joe Biden can't remember things and Merrick Garland knowingly released it, I think that pissed Joe Biden off substantially. And I think he's mad at Merrick Garland. I would be. And I think he will probably get rid of Merrick Garland. But he's got other problems other than the election. He's got two federal cases going on. And if you go and fire the attorney general before those trials start and the whole process is going on, it could make it longer. And of course, time is of the essence with these things. They want to get them done as quickly as possible. So I'm sure he would maybe want to get rid of Merrick Garland, but I just don't think it's an opportune time with the election and with the trials coming up. It would just cause everything to be more confusing and maybe make everything longer to get done.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time swallowing that, because I still go back to, you know, if we don't perform out here, we get fired.
Right.
It should be the same thing with them. And there's, yeah.
So how do you think this is going to go? I mean, leading up to this trial, I've had people tell me, oh, he's never going to get indicted. He gets indicted. He's never going to go on trial. He's on trial. And now I got all these people coming to me and saying, well, he won't get convicted because he'll get a Trump humper on the jury and they'll hang the jury. The problem I have with that is you've got all these lawyers, Harvard lawyers, presumably, and they're digging into all these people's social media. They're digging a lot of shit up on these people. It's hard for me to imagine some dumb, red meat-eating, mouth-breathing Trump humper fooling all these Harvard lawyers after they've investigated them. I don't see a Trump humper sneaking their way in because they're so slick and then throwing this case in chaos. I just don't see that happening. But people want to worry about something. It no matter what happens, they always come back and say, yeah, but this is going to happen. For whatever reason, people have this fatalistic attitude. I think at this point with this trial, Donald Trump, without question, is going to get convicted of multiple charges. You just don't run the fucking table on 34 felony charges. You would know that as well as anybody.
Yeah, and I do believe he's guilty, and I do believe he'll get convicted. What happens after that, I'm not totally convinced of, because they've let him by with so much shit up to this point. It's a two-tier justice system. I, you know, he's next president. I think he deserves to go to jail more than probably 90% of the people that have went to jail. But will it happen? I don't know. It needs to happen. The other thing with him and his health, is he going to survive to sentencing?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's one of the things I've said. I doubt he'll make it to the point where he'll be the nominee because of his health or his mental health. He's got a lot hanging over his head. I mean, we all have our problems, but 91 felony charges on Monday of this coming week. The trial really starts in, and they're going to be checking into his bond issue. They're going to deny that because that's a fucking absolute joke. It's not legitimate. Then they're going to start taking his money away. This motherfucker's got a lot of shit hanging on his head, a lot of pressure. The only thing he can hope for is that he's so delusional that he doesn't get it. But if he does get it a little bit, that's going to be hard. It'd be hard for a 35-year-old guy to take.
There's a couple things that I want to touch on here. And one of them is whenever I've done time a couple times, the worst time there is for me was between the time that I got convicted. And then there's always a wait period. And then you have sentencing.
Right.
When you're sitting there knowing you're convicted and not knowing what you're going to get, was always the worst time for me.
Oh,
once
yeah.
I got sentenced, then you can start adjusting to the sentence. So,
well, that's the thing that people hate the most. That's the thing people hate the most is the unknown, because they make it worse in their minds.
Yeah, and that would be it to me with his health and his age. That's probably where he might check out.
Well, let me
you
let
know,
me ask,
I think that's where the worry is going to overwhelm him.
Let me ask you this. You know, there are some people that say, well, this is a lesser trial than some of the others coming up. And I guess it is. You know, people want to make it about the hush money thing. It's really not about that. It's about election interference. It's about fraud. It's about a lot more serious things than paying a porn star to keep her mouth shut. It's really what he did to cover it up and how he lied about it. And that's always worse than the actual offense. But some people have said, well, he can get convicted, but there's a chance he won't go to prison because of the level of this crime. What I've suggested, I know nothing about this, so I'm asking for your expertise. I don't know that you have expertise in this, but you certainly know more than I do. If you take these crimes and say you suggest that they're lesser crimes to insurrection, to stealing classified documents, if you have 20 convictions and they're all of that lower level that people think, the number of convictions, does that have some bearing on whether they put you in jail? Because it's almost like, you know, instant recidivism. He's already done it multiple times, and he's been convicted 20 times, 30 times, whatever it is. Is that going to play a part in his sentencing, do you think? Whether he has one guilty conviction or 30 convictions?
Yes and no, Mike.
Well, thanks for nailing it down. Go ahead.
Well, this is hard to explain, but I got... And what I'm saying is he's got 35 counts against him in New York.
Right.
Well, let's say he gets convicted of 15 of them. Well, they're basically 15 first-time offenses because he's getting tried at the same time. Now, when he moves on to his next trial, then it becomes... Because let me explain it. And this kind of happened to me. Minnesota got me on a sale, but they were out doing their investigation. I went to Mexico, made another trip. I was coming through Texas, and I got picked up. Well, Minnesota already made their sale, but they hadn't arrested me yet. So anyway, I they didn't like my luggage in Texas, and I did my time, blah, 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 and that was his first time offense. Why? I get out of jail in Texas after a while, and I come home, and then a couple months later, I get arrested. Well, the DA was going to use it as a second offense, you know, a second drug offense. That way he could sentence me longer. But the buy was made before I got picked up in Texas, so it technically had to be as a first-time offense. Does that make sense to you?
No, it makes sense.
I had two first-time offenses.
Wow.
If it, you know, so it worked in my favor.
No, I guess what I was getting at, if he's in this trial and he gets convicted of one felony, that's bad. If he gets convicted of 20 felonies in the same case, does that weigh on a judge or the jury, whoever decides what his sentence is going to be, whether it be a first offense or a second offense or whatever? Does that come into figure in terms of sentencing at all? Or is it just, you know, guidelines, first offense, this is what you get, second offense, this is what you get? Because this is an unusual situation. Yeah. Most people don't walk in with 30 fucking felonies.
I've never been a lawyer. I've always stood next to him, you know. But it has to show you something about his ways.
Right.
And when you have, you know, when you have, it just shows you, yeah, this man's a criminal. You know what I mean? And he's 77 years old, you know. Do you think they're going to reform him at his age?
No.
No, this is his way. And here's what people always forget, because they always want to argue Trump in politics. Look at Trump before he ever got into politics. The man did not change. He just got worse. He was a crook from the word go.
Yeah, he's been a crook from the word go, from the time he was a child to up until now. Now, we were talking about the gag order. Donald Trump has trouble keeping his mouth shut, whether it be in court, outside of court. He's got this gag order. We're going to find out whether or not this judge is going to punish him. Some people say that the guideline for violating the gag order is $1,000 per violation. He has seven of them to date. Now, $7,000 doesn't mean anything to Donald Trump, and it's not going to teach him anything, so he'll pay it. But what some people suggest is it's not this one, it's the next one. Once he's been punished for it and found guilty of it and punished for it, if he does it again, that's when the hammer comes down. That's when they put him in lockup or put him in a different room with the fucking Dobermans. I don't know what they do. Is that true? They'll just do a standard one at first, and then they'll nail them on the second one.
I'd have to, you know, I hope he goes to jail, and I hope it's by the second one, but I think it's going to be further down the road. He's already being treated, because if it would be anybody else, as soon as he did them violations and the DA filed that, he would have been arrested, dragged into court, and made to explain why he did it.
Right.
And why it's an offense. But no, he just run around to do it until Tuesday. And like you said, he's going to violate it how many more times before Tuesday? Anybody else, as soon as the DA filed the complaint, would have gotten arrested, and they would have dealt with it. You know, he might have spent the night in jail, but they would have dealt with it the first thing the next morning.
Somebody suggested that one of the reasons why the judge is waiting until Tuesday is because he wanted to get the jury sat first. Does that make any sense, that he wanted to get the jury sat and the trial getting ready to move?
Yes and no. You know, now that might be the judge's way of thinking, like, as long as we're doing this, let's get her done. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, they're in charge of their courtroom. So I'm not going to say that there's a right way or a wrong way of doing it, because he's been doing it a lot longer than I ever. You know what I mean? He's been doing it for a long time. He might think under the, because of the circumstances, that he does it a little bit different.
Right,
you know,
right. Yeah.
I'm not going to criticize the judge, because I wouldn't want his job.
No, hell no. Know? Well, let me ask you this. When you've been on trial for your cases, what's the longest trial you were in?
Oh, I always pled out, so
oh,
not long. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think it's going to do to somebody like Donald Trump to have to sit in court 8-10 hours a day, 4 days a week for the next 2 months? I don't think he can handle that.
I'm 61 years old. I couldn't handle that. I think what's going to happen with him and the way he does his thing, they're going to at least have to move him out of that courtroom and into another room.
Yeah.
You know, because, and at least if, for him, if he's in that other room, he can make his comments, he can pace, he can do a lot of things that he's not, that he can't do sitting at that table.
Right.
And
right.
I think he'll run his mouth until he gets put in another room. And that's the only way he's going to be able to handle.
Well, you know, and I think Monday is going to be especially bad for him, because Monday they'll start the opening arguments. When the prosecution start talking, he's going to hear a lot of shit he doesn't want to hear. He's going to hear a lot of shit that he's going to want to talk back at, and he's not going to be able to do it. And he's sitting in court in New York, and just a short distance away while he's in court, can't leave. There's another hearing going on, try to determine if his bond is legit. And it certainly is not legit. The end of that hearing might involve Letitia James saying, all right, we gave you a shot with the bond. You didn't come up with a bond. We're going to start grabbing up your shit and start selling it. So he's going to have two things going on, and neither one of them he can control. And this guy clearly is a control freak. That Monday, this coming Monday, is going to be a motherfucker for him.
Yeah, and see, that's another thing, and I agree with that, but that's another shit show we got here. If that would have been anybody else, as soon as that bond shit that went down and it was so illegit, he would have got drug in the court the very next day.
Right.
Because, you know, all they're doing is giving him more time, and that's what he wants. And I kind of wonder, you know, if that guy isn't worth the bond that he was trying to put up, or supposedly put up. Now, you can't tell me he don't know how that works, because he must be licensed to do it. To me, that would be fraud. And
it does
when
sound
you do
like
fraud on a hunt. Yeah, and it's fraud on what was it, $175 million?
Yeah.
I think that guy's going to be looking at some prison time.
Well, and I think Donald Trump maybe too. I mean, this is a civil suit.
Yes.
And he may have just turned it into a criminal trial. I mean, he's got so many charges against him. It almost doesn't matter. You can only put him in jail for so long or fine him so much before he's just left to be an oil stain in the fucking carpet. But yeah. The point is what I was saying before. He's got so much shit. He's trying to balance so many balls in the air. He's not going to be able to do it. And the guy's going to freak out. That's why I don't know if emotionally he can handle it to make it to November. He's going to crack. He's going to implode. Something's going to happen where he just can't do anything anymore. He's going to be incapacitated one way or another.
Oh, I think physically it's going to kill him. It might be better just to get it done with quicker, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've said this before.
Because this is like you say, because this is just the beginning. He's got Georgia. He's got how many, you know, two or three other. Yeah, you know, so he's got a lot of shit.
Well, one of the things that everybody always says is, God, we got to get this in before the election. And I'm not so sure that that really makes a difference. I think if some of these cases or the other three cases don't come till after the election, Donald Trump should be careful what he's asking for, because I think he's going to be worse off if he's on trial for any or all of these other cases after the election, because all of a sudden he doesn't have the protection of being a candidate or being the president, you know, 4 years to the next presidential election. He's just totally fucked. He's already been convicted in New York with this case, and now he's going to be out there on his own. The Republicans aren't going to back him after they get their ass kicked in November. He's going to be out on his own little island. And that's why I've said this case is going to dig the grave. The other three cases are just going to be the dirt that goes on top of him, because you can only do so much to the guy.
You know, I've heard you guys talk about this a lot, too. I don't see how he's even allowed to run when he's got all these indictments. And then I know when I was a convicted felon, you know, when you first get convicted, you're on what they call paper, or you go to prison, then you come out and then you're on paper. And some people just start out on paper. But anyway, it's kind of like active. A person can't vote when he's right in that position. So why should he be able to run to be the president of the leader of our country? If that is legal, that needs to get changed, because that's the stupidest thing I've ever, you know, heard of too.
Yeah, people say that a lot. How can he run if he's a convicted felon? And the fact of the matter is the reason he can run as a convicted felon is because the Constitution doesn't say he can't. There is no law against it. It's not in the Constitution. And I'm sure the people who wrote the Constitution never imagined something like this happening. Didn't need to be mentioned, because, well, why would you have a convicted felon? I mean, we're in the 1700s when this happened, so they didn't consider that. And you're right, he should not be able to run for re-election. But the one thing we do know, that there's a lot of people who have been polled that said if there's a conviction, they will not vote for Donald Trump. His prospects sink quite a bit if he gets a conviction. There's a lot of people that may want to vote for him now that won't, because of one conviction, certainly because of 10 or 15 or 20 convictions. So when he gets convicted in this trial, that's what I think is paramount. That pretty much sinks his prospects as running for reelection. I don't think he has a chance now. I think that will just end it completely. So I don't really care if he goes to jail. As long as we get multiple convictions, to me, that's going to be the demise of Donald Trump. His political career anyway.
And I hope so, Mike. And I've heard you mention that before. But that hinges on that the Donald Trump followers have a brain at all. And right, I'd have to say, if they had a brain to start with, they wouldn't still be hanging on and willing to vote for him.
Well, that's true.
I mean, where they always say, if this happens, that'll be our breaking point. If this happens, that'll be our breaking point. He loses a few each time. But, you know, if they haven't said enough up to this point, what's a little bit more bullshit?
Well, that's true. But, you know,
you know what I mean?
I've heard this before.
I hope so.
People will say to me, you'll never change their mind. I know that. There is a certain percentage of people that will never change their mind about Donald Trump, no matter what he does. The point of it is, though, there's not enough of them. There's not half the country that support Donald Trump regardless. There's about 25, 26, 27%, and that's not enough to win him an election. And it's also going to damage him in an election, because what it does, it divides the Republican Party. So now the Republican Party as a whole is weaker, because you got two factions within the party. We'll never be able to convince the Trumplefucks. They're just done. They're gone mentally, and you can't change it. But it doesn't really matter, as long as those reasonable-minded people say, fuck, he's convicted, I can't vote for him, even though I would have anyway. So we can only
I don't appreciate, think they're reasonable-minded.
Well, there are some. There are some. Well, it's comparative. It's comparative.
It's just like our the GOP, the Republicans. They're still clinging on to Donald Trump. I get that it's getting a little, it's less and less, I think, but he still runs the frickin' show for the GOP. You know, you think there'd be some reasonable minded people in there too, but how much stupidity are we working with here?
Well, you know,
would have been better off to get rid of Trump right away when he lost the 2020 election. They should have flushed him down a goddamn toilet. And what people forget is the only reason he became a Republican is because the Democrats wouldn't let him run.
Right.
So yeah. He changed his stripes right there. You know, that tells you something right there. But I'm just saying, you know, he still controls that party. How can he have that much control? There's a lot of not very reasonable minded people out there.
Well, you know, when I talk about Republicans, you have the Trumpifucks, you have that core base that are absolutely ignorant. Yes. There are people that are dragged by the nose ring by these smaller faction of people. They are, when I say they're more reasonably minded, it's more along the lines of saying they're the skinniest fat guys or the smartest dumb guys. They're tainted by this, but they can see the other side of things. And people are going, we see people walking away from Donald Trump. I mean, if Donald Trump wants to win a presidential election, he's got to get the entire Republican Party. He does not have the entire Republican Party. He has a small faction of the Republican Party. In addition to having the unified Republican Party, he needs independents too, because there's more Democratic voters. So he's fucked. His party isn't unified. He can't get the whole party, and he can't get the independents. That's why I say he has little or no chance to even make a showing in a November election, if he's even in it.
I hope so, and I hope they don't. Yeah, I can't believe the support that he's still got up to this point. And I can't believe the Republicans as a party is still behind him. I just can't believe it's went on as long as it has. It don't make any sense, Mike, but there's something going on, like, you know, it's like, you know, it's hard to explain it, Colt.
You know,
he's got some power.
Yeah, no, he does. It's fading. I tell you, Howard, you know, since doing this, I get a lot of Republicans and Trumpifucks come to me and say some horrible shit to me. And it really doesn't faze me at all. But you know what one phrase I get all the time in comments, when I talk to people, I get the same phrase, and it annoys the fuck out of me. And I'm not calling you out on this. It's when I say something, and they will say, I hope you're right, but fuck you. Get some confidence in this shit. Look at the facts. Look at the logic. Don't tell me you hope so. Tell me you fucking know so, based on facts and logic.
And one thing I'll agree with 100% is, and you say it a lot, is he's done nothing to gain any votes, and he lost in 2020.
Absolutely.
I guess another scenario that scares me is, let's say something happens to Biden right before the election.
Yeah, that's a concern.
Physically. I think Kamala Harris would make a fine president. I don't think she'd get backed by enough people. I don't know if people wouldn't show up to vote, or if they vote the other way, or if it'd be so split that I just hope that don't happen either.
Well, you
because,
know,
okay, let's say Trump's out of the picture. I mean, I don't know if she's got the support, because they don't showcase her enough.
Right. No, I agree with you. They should have showcased her, especially under these circumstances. My greatest hope is that Joe Biden makes it to not only the election and wins, makes it to the inauguration, and then after that, whatever is is. We need to get through this election. We need the Democrats to win. And frankly, yes. If 2 days after he's inaugurated, Joe Biden says, I retire, or if he waits 2 years and says, I retire, I don't care. I'm comfortable with Kamala. I mean, I've said all along.
I am too.
We should be done with old white guy rule. It obviously isn't working properly, and it's time to move on. And it's time that millennials and Gen Zs have somebody figuring out their future, because the future isn't yours and mine. We won't be here for the future, but their future is important, and we don't need more old white guys dictating what they're going to be dealing with 30 years from now.
No, we don't. And there's a lot of changes that we need to make happen in our government to keep this kind of thing from happening again.
Yeah. Well, I've said before that Donald Trump has done very little good in this country and a lot of bad, but there's one good thing I think he's done, and it's causing us the most problems. You know, some of the corruption and criminality we're seeing in politics now is something that's been going on for decades and decades, since we were little kids, but we didn't know about it, or they had plausible deniability for it. It was kept under the radar. And Donald Trump is such a bull in a china shop that he's brought all this shit to the top like a fucking cyst or a boil that's exploded now. So all this stuff that's been going on for decades, now we know. Now we see it. And we need to take notice that and do something about it once we get past the election and have some power. And maybe we can clean some things up in government that have been hanging around for decades.
And I've heard this too from other people, but I'm one of these people, is because of Donald Trump, I started getting actively following politics, right, and talking to people, trying to get something done. And yeah, he's pulled us out of the closet because, you know, with my experience with the court system, blah, 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 politics just never did anything for me. And I always thought my vote didn't count, really. You know what I mean? But it does. And even when I couldn't vote, I still have a mouth. I can change people's minds with facts. So, and I think, and I know I'm not unique. I think because of the shit that Donald Trump's pulled, he's pulled a lot of people that have never been involved in the politics speaking up. And the other thing that's changed, and it's changing so fast, and you're part of it too, is the social media. We're finding out about stuff that never got reported before, right, by mainstream media, and we're finding about it on time basis,
right? Right.
As it's happening.
And I think that's important. I mean, people are now interested, and people want to be informed. I've always said, I think one of the problems we have with, whether it comes to sports or politics or anything like this, too many people get wrapped up into it, and it's all about emotions and just reacting to things. If we can get people to slow down, cool the fuck out, and look at the facts, look at logic and common sense, we can actually get some things done. The media is there to whip up our emotions and get us scared, and it works, and we watch their fucking shit when it comes out on the media. But if we really want to fix some things, we've got to stay calm, and we got to deal with the facts. And we've been hard-pressed to get the facts up till social media.
Yeah, now that vote's coming up about TikTok, too, and yeah, you've explained that, where even if we get voted out, it takes quite a while to get there, and then they have time to sell it and stuff. But I don't know why the politicians even want to screw with our media, except they're scared of it.
I think
because it does expose a lot of stuff.
I think you're right about that, and let's talk about that on the other side of this break. Because that is an important issue. That's something that's being voted on today. And a lot of people are scared about it. And I want to talk about it a little bit, but we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
We're back on the Rational Boomer podcast. We have the good fortune of having listener Howard. I keep wanting to call you some other name, and I don't know why. I think it's because of your last name. I'm not going to give it on the air here, but Howard is here with us. Howard's been with us a number of times over the years, and it's always great to have him back. He is a fellow Minnesotan. He's in the west side of Minnesota. And before we took the break, you were talking about this proposed TikTok ban. And there's a lot of people freaking out about it. There's actually a vote on four bills today. One is the Ukraine aid or the war with Russia, aid to Israel, aid to the people in Gaza, humanitarian aid, and the prospect of shutting down TikTok. Now, I get a lot of people coming to me saying, what's going to happen? Are they going to shut down TikTok? And you mentioned something, I think, off the time we were here. It's really interesting that politicians have such a hard on for TikTok. I mean, they're worried about China and all this infiltration. Well, we get all that shit from Facebook, Instagram, and all the other ones too, but they're not on trial, just TikTok. And there's been no more proof of it than, well, there's been more proof with Facebook and Instagram and such that they're influenced by Russia. The question is, why do they have such a hard on for TikTok? Any thoughts?
Oh, exactly. I think the reason they got a hard on for TikTok is because we find out stuff while it's happening. I very, very seldom watch mainstream news anymore. You know, it's slanted either right or left. Mm-hmm. It's the days of Walter Cronkite are gone.
Yeah, they are.
You know, you don't get the facts and then get to make your own decision. I'm more of a Democrat than a liberal. So I listen to the news that kind of leans that way.
Right.
You know, I got a buddy, every time I walk in there, he's got Fox News on. That news is different than what I watch. I hate to say it, but I always tell him, oh, I see you got the entertainment channel on. But now, and this is in the last year, Mike, at least for me, I get most of my news off of TikTok, and then I got a couple places on the internet. I got one out of Washington, D.C. I can't even think of it off the top of my head. It's more like a newspaper, and I go and read articles.
Okay.
But between TikTok and, you know, a couple of them other places, political, I get news from political. I've gotten away from getting my news off the TV because it's slanted one way or the other. I'd like to get my news straight down the middle.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean,
just report what's going on.
Just the facts. I mean, we can all make our choices. We have opinions on things and we slant a certain way. I don't need to be spoon fed by somebody who has an agenda and then tries to get me to go along with that agenda. And I think you're right. The problem they have with TikTok is in terms of the content, in terms of the news reporting, they have no control. They can control the media with money or regulations or pressure or all that sort of thing. But there's a lot of little guys like me that they can't really reach and they can't really do anything to them. And I think that is a problem for them. We're getting news out quicker and more facts as opposed to whatever noise or agenda they want to portray. And I think it does make them nervous that real people, people like you and me, can deliver some news and they don't have any control over it. And it scares the fuck out of them. But what should scare the fuck out of them too is that TikTok, you can want to ban it if you want to try, but 170 million people are on TikTok. They're users of TikTok. That's literally half the country. What kind of political fucking suicide would that be if you were the one or the 10 people that decide to cancel TikTok? For Christ's sake, that's akin to overturning Roe v. Wade as far as pissing people off. It's maybe not quite the same and not quite as bad, but it's almost as bad.
Well, yeah, you affect about as many people you're going to, you know, piss off. The majority, I would say, doing it. You know, and there's people that are in politics that use TikTok, and I don't want to mention any names on here, but that one guy, and he's pretty good on there, actually. He uses it, but he voted against it.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, he fucked himself over.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that they're, you know, I got my Fox News guy, he likes to talk about this shit on TikTok too, and the Chinese have been getting our information off of TikTok, blah, blah, blah. Well, for one, I guarantee you the Chinese, they don't want my information because it ain't going to do them any damn good, but they've got our information through Google search and this. All they got to do is buy it. Facebook sells information. You know, all of them social media sell information. They don't need an app on my phone to get my information. They got it. The internet is worldwide.
I swear to God, when I'm on Facebook, if in my mind I say, God, I got to go to the bathroom, don't even say it out loud. I just think about it. I have to go to the bathroom. Next thing I get as far as ads is toilet paper. It's fucking scary how much they can lock into what you're looking for at that moment. And God help me if I look for something someplace else because all the ads are on Facebook. I mean, it's you can whine about TikTok, but Facebook and Instagram, they're infringing the fuck out of our lives, and they're using our information to work against us, to sell us shit.
How about Google? Didn't they just get sued for that? Because my wife and I, we've talked about that before, that we'll be talking about buying something. And the next thing you know, we got, you know, the ads that pop up when you're looking at different stuff, it'll pertain to exactly what we talked about.
Right.
And Google got sued over that. You know, I would think I'm more mad at Google because how much shit have I said and they've stolen it? They've come right into my house and listened to me.
Right, right, right. I don't know how they...
We wouldn't put up with that from the government. No. Why do we put up with it from Google?
Well, you know, Congress always calls these people, Google and Facebook and Instagram. They call them on the carpet. They ask them tough questions. But you notice something? They never do anything about it. There's never anything done. And part of that has to do with these people have big money and they have big lobbyists and they shove money in the pockets of the representatives. They put on a show like we're tough, but they never do anything. That's the problem we have. And now they want to take down TikTok, which may be guilty of some things, certainly, but no more so than Google or Facebook or Instagram. If you're going to take down TikTok, take them all motherfucking down.
Well, haven't they used their lobbyists to lobby for TikTok to get taken down? And do they want to get it taken down or do they want to be part of the buyer when it has to be sold?
Well, yeah, you have to wonder if
Zuckerberg, I'd like to see who buys it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know who wanted, you know who's already said they want to buy it?
Oh, yeah. I
Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary for Donald Trump, who is the creepiest, most criminal motherfucker I've ever seen. I don't know how he'd pull that together because TikTok's not going to be cheap. I mean, Donald Trump thought he had a windfall with Truth Social, and that's dying a quick death. But TikTok is a legitimate juggernaut with 170 million users. That's going to be worth literally billions and billions and billions of dollars. And I don't know who they can get to buy it unless Zuckerberg or Elon Musk want to do it. And that's conceivable. You know, they look at TikTok as competition, and frankly, TikTok is kicking their ass. they would love nothing more than to buy it instead of competing with it.
I think they're making a bad move by forcing a sale, you know, if it gets voted against tomorrow. I guess I wouldn't be surprised to see it voted to a ban and have to be sold just because there's power, there's money behind wanting that done.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But money gets what money wants, so.
But here's the thing that people have to understand. They're very upset about the prospect of being TikTok being shut down. And some people, I think that when they vote on it, then it gets shut down the next day. And that's not how it works.
No.
If they vote to shut it down or have it sold to somebody else, it's going to take 6 months that they're going to have a chance to sell it to somebody else. But over and above that, they're going to Donald Trump the motherfucker out of this. They're going to sue. There's going to be lawsuits from every angle, from people, from TikTok, from other people. They're going to sue the fuck out of this, and this could be in court for the next 3 years or more. So the idea that they're going to shut down TikTok tomorrow, that's not going to happen. And frankly, you know, we both know apps all have a shelf life. Facebook was the hottest thing ever for a long time, and now not so much. By the time they get this taken down, the shine may have worn off of TikTok and there's something else, something bigger and better to go to. So I'm not too worried about TikTok being taken down. I just don't see, there's too much money involved on both sides. It just doesn't happen that quickly. And there'll be some kind of compromise, you know, they'll come up with some kind of compromise because the politicians can't afford to piss off half the country. And TikTok has enough money to play the same game that Zuckerberg and Elon Musk play. This may be a shakedown. This may be a shakedown. The government saying you're not paying us enough money, so pay us more money and then we'll leave you alone. I wouldn't be at all surprised by that.
No, that wouldn't surprise me either. And like you say, there's going to be new technology and new apps, new coming down the road, because I remember when Facebook was a big thing and I was on there quite a bit, and I was trying to track somebody down the other day. Anyway, one of my guys that worked for me went in and brought my old Facebook page up, and I don't remember the last time I posted was either 2012 or 2014. So it's been a while since I've been on my Facebook page. But I remember when Facebook was a thing. I thought this was going to be the thing for
a long
ever,
time.
You know. Yeah. But now TikTok's hot, but there will be something new again.
There's going to be something. The technology is going to change. Things are going to change. I'm not real worried about it. People always come to me and say, "Well, if they take down TikTok, how do I find you?" And if you're listening to this podcast, you know that there's an audio podcast and there's a video podcast on YouTube. Obviously, you found me someplace else or found us someplace else other than TikTok. And if TikTok goes away, we'll still be here with YouTube and the audio version of it. And on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, you find all the TikToks too. So it's not like I'm going to disappear. I'm like a fucking bad penny. I ain't going away.
Yeah, and now YouTube, and I know you've been you're on that now too, but
so are you right now.
Yeah, exactly. But now I love YouTube because of what I use it for. But the only thing I use it for is how to do something.
Yeah,
they have such a good niche there. I don't think they'll ever go away, because if you want to know how to do something, you can YouTube it, and somebody's done it, and they're going to show you how to do it.
Well, on YouTube,
some people go there for news.
Yeah, YouTube.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of good stuff to watch on there, the Midas Touch, and a lot of great creators, a lot of fun things, a lot of informational things. And frankly, YouTube's been there since before Facebook. So YouTube's pretty solid. It's going to be around for a while. It's a good, you know, mainstay for a lot of folks. And that's why I started posting on YouTube too. I thought, well, what the hell? If I'm going to post on something else, it certainly isn't going to be Twitter or X. because that's going down the shitter. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, but those are kind of, you know, it's funny about apps and about social media. Facebook comes out, it's the hottest thing with college kids. Then it's the hottest thing with young kids. Then we old folks get in there and destroy it, and they take off and go to Instagram. Then we go to Instagram and they take off and go to Twitter or someplace else or TikTok. Now here we are in TikTok. And when I first got on it, we had cute girls lip syncing and handsome guys doing whatever. And now you got some old fuck like me on TikTok talking about politics. We ruin everything. We old folks.
Yeah, we kind of come in and take over, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
So
we do. But, you know, the thing people have to understand is while we're old, I don't think you're a boomer. You're a Gen X, right on the edge, I think. Well, no, maybe you are a boomer. I whatever. It doesn't really matter.
I don't know.
It doesn't really matter. But the thing about it is that something's been revealed. And I always thought this to be the case. You know, when you get to be a certain age, your age or my age, this is the time when the young people want to push us aside. You're old. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's time for the young people to take over. And that's well and good. I did it when I was young. You did it when you were young. But the problem with it now is that there's a lot of us old fucks. I mean, a lot of us, like 60, 70 million of us. And the vast majority of us have most of the money. So we're actually a valuable demographic, even though people don't want to admit it. And what I found with doing TikToks, what I was amazed by is over and above, you know, getting some attention, most of my audience is between 45 and 65. So it's been kind of a rallying point for old people to come together. These people that are being pushed off to the side have now come together. And there's a certain amount of strength in that because individually, we're not very tough, but all together, we're pretty formidable.
That's one thing I love about TikTok. And like I said, I come on here and get my news. And there's enough creators that actually are good at it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You're one of them, but there's a few others. And then there's always creators that get to a certain size. And then, I don't know, they just think people are interested in them. Well, yeah. When it started getting to be about them, I'm not following them anymore.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. That's a mistake some big creators make. And it's a mistake I won't make because I know better. But there are creators who get really big by doing whatever it is they do. And then they get so big, they buy into their bullshit and they think, well, they're here for me. They're interested in me. So I'm just going to tell stories about me. And that always fails because people want the information they want. I've got some stories about my life that I'll throw in every once in a while, but people ain't going to come to my page just to hear me tell stories. You know, I found a niche of something that people want, and it's my job to give it to them continually and consistently. So I get a little frustrated by creators who get caught up in themselves and decide anything I do, they'll love. Well, I know better than that. I know that there is a need for whatever it is I'm providing, and my job is to just keep providing it and not get caught up in how many followers you have or how many likes you have. No, who gives a fuck about that? If I had 10 followers or 300,000 followers, it doesn't make a difference. I would still do the same thing.
But now, Mike, you got to remember one thing you have over most of them other creators is you have about 40 years experience of doing what you're doing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that I'm extraordinarily good looking, but I'll take the 40 years too.
I'll take experience over good looking any day.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had to do that all my life, regardless of how experienced I am. good looks has never been a burden for me. Okay. So we've got the TikTok thing. And like I say, don't get too psyched up about that. Don't worry about that. It's going to be fine for now. We'll follow it. We'll see what ultimately happens. But also today, they're going to vote on three bills. This is a weird thing. You got the, You've got the funding of Ukraine and their war with Russia. You've got the funding of Israel and their thing with Hamas. And then you've got humanitarian aid to the people in Gaza. These are all very important to Democrats. And of course, MAGA doesn't want to do that shit. Well, they might want to give money to Israel, but the other ones, we don't want to get involved in that. But the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who is an absolute dipshit, is seemingly going against the grain and going to put these up for a vote. It was never at a risk to not be passed by votes. It's just that Mike Johnson refused to put it up. So now he's going to put it up, and they will probably more than likely pass, which is a good thing. But then he's going to take a beating from MAGA, and they're going to want to call him up for a vote of no confidence and hopefully try to kick them out. What do you think's going on in his mind right now for him to do that, to go against MAGA, which he was strongly ensconced in for most of his career? Now he's going against them. What do you think's going on there?
Mike Johnson, he's kind of hard to read, you know. Do you think he's afraid of getting kicked out? You know, he was chosen by God.
Well, that's true.
And Mike, if you're chosen by God, why should you be scared of MAGA?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's
talk about this Ukrainian. Well, let's talk about the bills too.
Right. Well, you know, the thing about it is Democrats are really worried about getting this funding to Ukraine because Ukraine is slipping a little bit. They don't have the resources. They don't have the money. And it's important for us, even though the Republicans don't get it, to keep Russia at bay and maybe even kick them out of Ukraine, because we know as well as anybody should, except the MAGA folks, that if Russia goes in and takes over Ukraine, then it's just a matter of time before he go into Poland or some other countries that are in NATO. And now we do have a world war. So we do have some skin in the game in helping out Ukraine. The Republicans don't get it, but maybe Mike Johnson realizes it. I think there's something more insidious there. I think Mike Johnson is caught between a rock and a hard place. He knows he's going to be on the bad side of history if he doesn't put up this Ukraine vote, but he knows MAGA is going to want to kick him out. Personally, I think he cut a deal with the Democrats because they're making all the decisions anyway. Anything that gets passed has to do it with Democratic help. The Republicans haven't been able to pass anything on their own yet. But I think the Democrats said, just pass this Ukraine thing and we'll save your ass when they try to vote you out. I really believe they're going to do that, not because they want to help Mike Johnson, but because there's 6 months left in the session without a Speaker of the House, and they've got nobody to replace him. They get nothing done, so they might as well get something for their money and then save him and deal with the dipshit henceforth.
From what I understand, without a Speaker of the House, the House does not run because nothing can be brought up for a vote because he's
exactly
the one that does it.
Exactly. Now,
and you kind of explained this about Ukraine, and I've talked to so many people about this. Let's give them money, because if we don't give them money, we're going to have boots on the ground.
Right, right.
And that's because Russia is going to overstep. Once they get Ukraine, they're going to step one step further. And anywhere they go, where they're going to be into an ally nation. And we have to back up our allies. It's just like we stand behind Israel. Do we agree with what they're doing? And Joe Biden's trying to get some stuff changed. Yeah, but we're their allies, so we are tied to them, whether
right.
we, at this point, like it or not. They got a crazy leader in there, so it's not a good country to be tied to. But, you know, there were people that were tied to us when we had Donald fucking Trump for a leader. So
right.
It's kind of reversed, you know.
Well, you know, the thing about it is the whole NATO thing has been a deterrent for a lot of these fucks like Vladimir Putin. As far as I understand, since NATO's been created, there's this Article 5 where everybody gets together and helps out a country that's being attacked. And as far as I understand, the only country that's needed that help with an Article 5 is us after we were attacked in with 9/11 in 2001. But
and then we went to the wrong people.
Yeah. I mean, that was the crazy thing. You've got the vast majority of the pilots or the suicide bombers that flew the planes, and they were Saudi Arabian. So we go attack Iraq. Made no fucking sense, but typical political move. But the problem is if Russia goes into Ukraine, takes over Ukraine, and goes into, say, Poland, it's not just us involved. There's like 30 nations in NATO. They all got to come. And then it's going to be a mad shit show.
It ain't going to last very long, but it's going to be a mad shit show while it's happening, you know. And at that point, is there any winning? You know, there's going to be so much death and destruction that there's just no winning. So
no. Well, so these things are going to pass today. And when they do, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, and somebody else got on board with Marjorie Taylor Greene to sponsor this thing. They're going to try to put him up like they did Kevin McCarthy and kick his ass out. As I've said before, Republicans don't think past the end of their nose. Think about how hard it was to find some clown like Mike Johnson to actually get elected to the Speaker of the House. When they kick his ass out, it could take forever to find somebody who could actually get the votes. Remember, I said the Republican Party is divided. They can't agree on shit. They're not going to agree on another Speaker of the House.
And what are they holding that majority by? Is it only one still? And did that other guy retire now?
Right.
Okay, now did that other guy retire, or was that coming up yesterday?
Remember
that second guy that was going to...
Yeah, I think his retirement date was on the 19th, which was yesterday, when you're hearing this.
Okay.
You're hearing this on the 20th, but on the 19th he retired. But I wonder, you know, we've been wondering all along that...
Did he follow through with it?
I believe he did. But so we're down to like two reps difference. But you have to wonder, you know, one guy announced that he isn't running for re-election. He's not leaving early, but he's not running for re-election because of the shit show that's going on with the Republican Party. You have to wonder if they actually go through with kicking out Mike Johnson, does that get a couple more Republicans going, fuck it, I'm done, I'm leaving today? And then all of a sudden, it doesn't make a difference if Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House, because the Democrats will have the majority and Hakeem Jeffries becomes the Speaker of the House. That would be interesting.
That would be a good scenario, too. And maybe something would get done.
Well, you know, and I've said this before. See what you think about this. I'm thinking the Republicans may want to see that happen. See Democrats take control. And Hakeem Jeffries, Speaker of the House, and somebody's going to say, how can you fucking say that? Well, think of it this way. We're coming up to the election. One of the campaign points is going to be the House of Representatives, controlled by the Republicans, hasn't done shit. And that's why you should vote Democrat. If they switch it over to Hakeem Jeffries, and they don't get much done in 6 months, which is hard to do anyway, then they can try to flip it and blame the Democrats for the House, even though they've been here for 18 months. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to play that game. It would be a dumb game, but it's the Republicans, so it wouldn't be surprising.
No, and then I like how you say it. You know, the Republicans. The one thing that I wonder about as far as the Republicans and the way this Donald Trump thing is going, and then we've had the worst Congress in history because they control it. Is the Republicans, as far as a party goes, are they going to self-disintegrate? Now, I get the way our system is set up. We need to have two parties, but is the Republican Party, are they going to burn themselves up and have to reform as another party, or well, do you think they'll always exist?
Well, no. I think that's already happened. We don't have a Republican Party that resembles the Republican Party when it was formidable. And I was thinking about this. You know, you talk about Donald Trump and the problems he's created in this country and the things he's destroyed. A lot of it hasn't been destroyed yet, but it's hanging by a thread, you know, like democracy and just the way our government runs. If you look at the things Donald Trump has done to this country, then you look at what Donald Trump and the Republicans or the Trumplefucks have done to their own party. I mean, think about how many people from Donald Trump's administration who have been indicted and convicted. I mean, dozens of them. You look at overturning Roe v. Wade, which is not a winner for the Republicans. It's a big time loser. Donald Trump is on trial. He's got 91 felony charges. He's been exposed for Donald Trump's done more destruction to the Republican Party than he done to the country, because some of it still hasn't happened yet, but we're worried about it. I think when this election is over, if it goes like I think it will and is a blue wave, they have no choice but to step back and regroup and try to reimagine who they are. Because by that time, they'll know that Donald Trump and the whole MAGA thing just ain't working. They should have learned it before now, because it hasn't worked since 2016. But that will be the turning point for them, as stupid as it sounds. And I think the Republican Party as we know it will no longer exist. They may still call it the Republican Party, but they're going to have to change so much if they want to even participate or even compete in the 2026 election and the 2028 election. They're fucked. They haven't been competing as of much lately. They're going to have to change something. Something's going to have to be different.
Yeah, and they can't blame anybody but themselves, because like I said earlier, you know, Donald Trump always backed Democrats until the Democrats wouldn't let him run. Right. So they brought all this destruction on themselves. And by not getting rid of Trump in 2020, I think if they would have got rid of him right after the election in 2020 when he lost to Joe Biden, they could have saved a Republican Party, but at this point, I'd say they're pretty much going to be self-destructive.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing. All along the way, over the last 4 years, everything they've done has hurt the party, and they've watched it hurt the party. And instead of backing off and admitting they're wrong, they just embrace it and double down and triple down. I do not get that for the life of me. I mean, the abortion thing is paramount, because as soon as they overturned Roe v. Wade, they got their ass kicked in 2022. That's when they should have said, you know, maybe we fucked up. Let's go easier on this. But they've just gone harder on it. It's like they want to lose in November.
Well, it's either that or, you know, and I think this lady was on your podcast, but she put it that in a way that I'd never heard it before. The powers behind the scenes want a dictatorship. Well, right. They can screw up our democracy so bad that we're tired of it. People might be willing to say, hey, we're not that they vote something like that in, but let's say like that would have worked on January 6th insurrection. Our government was so fucked up that maybe enough people would say, well, what's so bad if we give it a try? Now, our government now isn't working. Is that why they keep doubling down? Because if they break our system to the point that nobody thinks it's repairable, do you think enough people will say, hey, I'm willing to try a dictatorship, because what do we have to lose at this point? Do you think there's some thinking that way behind it?
Well, that's an interesting point that I hadn't really thought about. You know, we watch the Republican Party and we think their goal is to own the libtards and beat the libtards and take control as Republicans. when maybe what we should have been looking at is exactly what you're describing. Maybe they don't care if the Republicans win. All they want to do is destroy democracy, destroy our form of government, tear it down to the fucking dirt, and then, like you say, come in and try to be the savior with these ridiculous dictatorship ideas. That sounds a little insidious, but you may be right. That may be the only explanation why they keep doing things to tear themselves down. They want to tear themselves down and bring everybody fucking with them.
And now that's not an original idea from Howie Paulson, because that there's a lady that kind of, that's who I heard it from. And I thought she was on one of your podcasts. But
that could be.
You get to where the system's broke so bad, you're willing to try anything. Yeah. And, you know, with all this shit going on, and I'm not saying I'm the smartest man in the world. Mike has never have made that claim. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Because how can you go back, we go back to the Republic, how can you go on back in such fucking stupidity unless if you hope to wipe the whole thing out?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people put this on Donald Trump. He's playing 3D chess. I think what people have to understand is that Donald Trump is just flat out dumb. He's reactionary. Mm-hmm. He's emotional. He doesn't make good decisions. But what I think where the problem comes in, and I've said this before, is that Donald Trump is easily manipulated. He's weak of mind. As long as somebody's patting him on the back and saying he's a genius, he'll do anything they want. He'll do their bidding. I think what's going on in this country with the Republicans has more to do with evil fuckers, the outliers, whether they be senators or representatives or money men, and they figured out that they can manipulate a useful idiot like Donald Trump, and they're the ones behind all this negative shit, misogyny, anti-Semitism, racism, overturning the country, overturning democracy and overthrowing the government. You may be onto something there, because Donald Trump really doesn't have the capability to plan or strategize. It just seems odd that this would all happen at his behest when he's not smart enough to pull that off.
Donald Trump is somebody else's pawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you go back to these evil people, could be in Congress and could be in the Senate. What I think, Mike, and this is kind of going off on the conspiracy people, our ideas, I think it's the people that can, the big money that control our politicians, are the people running, or they want to run our country. I don't think they're in office. I think it's the people that, you know, it's the people with the money that are controlling the offices.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, people will say the elites, the wealthy, the corporations, they really run this country. And a lot of people might look at that as a conspiracy theory, and maybe it is, but it's how you look at it. They aren't making day-to-day decisions, but they're putting money into the pockets of the people that do make those decisions, and they're influencing them to make the decisions they want. So indirectly, we know that big money is what's running this country, and that's why we have the problems we have now. The question is, if the Democrats get control in the House, the Senate, and the presidency, how do we fix that? And are there not some Democrats that are part of that same crowd that are doing the bidding of the wealthy? Because there is some Democrats that do that. They're not all great guys and gals.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I thought about that too, and it's pretty hard to beat money. But here's the thing that we have to keep in mind is that money is 1%. And my mom told me back in 2020, we could still change, and she's 94, by the way, we could still change things by voting. We're 99%.
Right.
We can change it. We have, you know, the big money is, if it's even 1% of this country, they can do a lot with money, but they can't, they can only vote once. They only have one vote, just like you and I.
They only have one vote. The problem is, and the why it's been effective for them is because there's enough people that are uninformed, uninvolved, and they listen to whatever they're being told by Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, whoever. And they take that as the actual fact. They don't look at the facts or the logic to it. They just hear the headlines and they think emotionally about it. And they go, yeah, that sounds good to me. That's one of the problems we have going into the next era, 24 and beyond, is that we've got to somehow get people more involved and informed. And that's part of what's happening with TikTok and other social media. People are getting more information, and apparently they're interested because they're coming and listening. And I think they're a little nervous about that. You know, they think they got this thing, Dick, the wealthy people, but they're starting to see some cracks and they're getting nervous about it. I think the Republicans are nervous about it because they know their end is near. And when that happens, people start acting irrationally and doing some crazy shit.
I do believe that. And like I say, it's going to come back to voting. There's just, that's the only way that I could put this all together and have it make sense to me, because nothing else makes sense. This stupidity that's going on in our politics does not make sense unless if the power behind the scene wants to play and change our government. You know?
See what you think about this. In 2020, we had an unprecedented amount of people come out and vote for the president. Donald Trump got 74 million. Joe Biden got 81 million. That's the most votes any presidential candidate has ever gotten. And I think it was not because Joe Biden was such a great candidate, was because they were so afraid of Donald Trump. It was a vote against Donald Trump more than it was a vote against Joe Biden. Now we're coming up to 2024. We know a little more about Donald Trump. We know a little more about Joe Biden. Joe Biden actually got some things accomplished, and Donald Trump is getting convicted of crimes and being exposed for all his corruptness. If people were afraid in 2020 and that's why they came out to vote, I think that'll be even more so in 2024. We're going to see an even bigger turnout, especially for Democrats, because, you know, Republicans just wanted a Republican, and that's why he got 74 million votes, Donald Trump. But a lot of these people have peeled away from him. They can't stomach his bullshit anymore. So that's why I think, and whether they vote for Biden or just don't vote, I don't really care. But that's why I kind of expect Joe Biden to win this motherfucker in a landslide, just by virtue of how fearful they are of what would happen to our country if Donald Trump got back in. And that's why I don't know that he's going to be the nominee. I don't think he will, but I hope he does, because as long as Donald Trump's name on it, it's a fucking disaster every time, and we could use that help.
And, you know, as far as him not being a nominee, and the other thing they've done is they've brought him along too far. If he isn't the nominee at this point, who will be? They don't have anybody at this point.
No, and that's what I've always said. If he ends up not being able to be the nominee, I hope he hangs on as long as he can, because the shorter period of time they have, they're going to have to fucking scramble and they're going to have to promote. And Donald Trump will have left them with no money. So how are they going to promote a new candidate? It's going to be impossible. Donald Trump cannot win. And anybody that follows behind him, if Donald Trump drops out, cannot win. It's just not possible.
And as far as Joe Biden, and I think Joe has been a very good president, but you don't hear about his accomplishments, I don't think, as much as we should. You know, he's done the infrastructure bill. He did the CHIPS Act. He's done the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, there's a lot of people that don't even know that.
I know. And that, a lot of that can be blamed on the messaging from the Democrats. They've never been good at that. They're getting better at it, but they should have been doing this 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But they've always wanted to take the high road and just be the, you know, I was talking about this recently. You know, How Michelle Obama said, take the high road when they take the low road. I know, and I think, you know, because you grew up probably in, well, you grew up in a similar era. Here's what I know about bullies. Turning the cheek and taking the high road doesn't stop a bully. Sometimes you got to get in the mud and fight at their level because that's all they fucking understand, and then beat them at their own game. That's really the only way to stop bullies. And the Democrats should have recognized that years ago, and they wouldn't be dealing with the problems they have now.
Exactly. And I like when you tell the stories about the bullies, how you always confronted them, because that's kind of my style too. And I've walked a lot of places in this world, Mike, and it's been fucking scary.
Yeah.
But I've never taken any crap off of anybody. And it's like, if I see somebody bowling, that's like a magnet. You know, I just don't go for that shit.
Well, and, you know, it's not always about fighting either. I remember.
No.
I remember being at work one day, and there was this kid who risen to a level of a boss. and he was admonishing a young, I don't know if he was an intern, a student worker or something like that, but he was ripping into him, and it was getting kind of annoying. I'm trying to do what I'm doing, and that noise is carrying over. And I walk over and I go, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, not your business. Stay out of it. I go, no, it is my business because you're fucking infringing on my report. So what the fuck are you doing? And he said, well, this kid did this, this, and this. I said, well, that's ironic because I was here when you were a student worker and you did worse shit than that. Why don't you just fucking deal with it like an adult and get the fuck out of here? He didn't like me after that. But this kid that was getting berated didn't deserve that kind of treatment from anybody, whether it be a boss or otherwise. And that kind of stuff annoys me. And it all started with, you know, my father, who was essentially a bully. And you, you know, when you're young and your dad, you got to take the shit. And then you get to a certain point when you're 17 and in shape and dad's old and out of shape, you go, wait a fucking minute. You want to fuck around? I'll knock your shit out right now. And then he backs away. And that taught me a lesson. Lesson that anybody who's going to be a bully, all you have to do is stick your face in their face and say, let's go, motherfucker. And they'll usually walk away. You don't even have to fight. And once you understand they're cowards and they won't really do anything if there's pushback, it's so much easier to walk up to a bully and go, fuck yourself. You want to do something? And they never do.
Well, I think what makes him the bully is the insecurity, and that insecurity comes from within him, you know. And that's, you know, that's, I'd hate to have to live like that.
Yeah, I'd hate to have to live like that. And I know it's about insecurity. And once I figure out what their insecurity is, oh, they fucking hate me because I exploit the shit out of it. Make fun
then
of them.
You become the bully, kind of. Yeah.
Well, I've said that before. I am a bully of bullies. So I think I've got a higher calling on that one. I'm better than a bully, but not much. Anyway, Howard, we're going to wrap things up for the Rational Boomer podcast as we do. Thank you for coming on. I'm glad you reached out today and came on the show. It makes it much more interesting. You know, it's more interesting having a listener on than me having to listen to myself. I get a little annoyed with myself after a while.
Well, I appreciate being able to come on because for me, it's a really good place to vent and get stuff off my chest, because I tell you what, my wife gets really tired listening to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. You know, people ask my wife and my kids, do you listen to your dad's TikToks? Do you listen to the podcast? Fuck no. I mean, they don't listen to shit. And so people say, why not? He goes, because we hear this shit 24 hours a day. We're tired of this shit. And I get it. I get it. They don't have to listen. I'm fine. But no, it's great to have perspectives from other people other than me, coming from different places and different perspectives. It's helpful to me too, because it's one thing to sit here and pontificate, but I can only consider it from my perspective, and my perspective isn't everybody's perspective. So it's nice to hear from folks like you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. For those of you listening, thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen. Hope you have a great day. And of course, we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.